I'd like to invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to read just one verse of Scripture, very familiar to you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Heavenly Father, we pause because we realize that we are in need of the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning. And Father, we invite you to help us in these moments to concentrate our minds on this simple verse of Scripture and invite the Spirit of God to encourage us thereby. Father, we pray that you would be honored in our response to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Will Strong, at the age of 38, came to know Christ as his personal Savior. The year was 1915. He was a third-generation life insurance salesman in the city of New York. And his grandfather, in the mid-1800s, had dedicated time to traveling to Bolivia to give out the Word of God. And though young Will had that background, he grew up in a Methodist home, went to a Methodist church where Christ was not preached. And it wasn't until later in his life, at the age of 38, that Will came to know Christ as his Savior while attending a prayer meeting in the city of New York, prayer meetings that went on during lunch hours. And Will became burdened for missions, and in the process of growing in Christ, he became acquainted with the Bolivian Indian Mission, was later named as their treasurer. And at the age of 45 years of age, and with a wife and two children, ages 10 and 14, in 1922, Will became convicted that God wanted him to go to South America. He was particularly interested in Bolivia. However, he had a struggle, and he resisted. He resisted the conviction because, one, he was 46 years old. He considered himself to be too old. And secondly, he didn't know the Spanish language. Thirdly, he believed that it was more reasonable for him to simply pray for missions and to use his business to give generously to missions. And so young Will resisted. And it was in October of 1922 that he fell ill with fever. And so sick was young Will that he ended up on his back in bed. And the doctor came to visit one of many times that he visited during his illness. And he overheard the doctor saying to his wife, "We have no idea what is wrong with your husband, but if we are unable to break the fever, Mr. Strong will die." And after the doctor departed, his wife came into the room, and Mr. Strong said to his wife, Jessie, "This sickness is of the Lord." And he asked her, "Jessie, would you be supportive if I took a survey trip to Bolivia?" And Jessie would be supportive. And the very next day, Mr. Strong climbed out of bed and faced a day as if he had never been sick a day in his life. Mr. Strong records the following, and I quote, he says, "I traveled through Bolivia, but fitted in nowhere. Then on June 1st, now he had been in Bolivia for 2 months by that time. This was June 1st, 1923, just months after he had been sick. He says, as I came into sight of Arica, Chile, on the Chilean coast again, after 2 months in the interior, I said, Lord, I have only 4 days left until my steamer sails. I thought that you had called me to South America, but I do not seem to fit in anywhere. Please show me, therefore, in the next few days, if there is anything here in South America that you have for me to do." And it was the very next day that Will Strong was ashore, and he had traveled by train from Arica to Tacna, which today belongs to the country of Peru, and he was strolling through the city of Tacna and passed by a military barracks. Now, Will had been involved with the Salvation Army in Sandy Hook, New York, visiting barracks there and preaching the gospel. And the Lord impressed on him to pursue a meeting there in Tacna with soldiers. And that meeting was granted. And the very next day, he had the opportunity with an interpreter to preach the gospel in the barracks. And that particular event was God's confirmation. And beloved, it was the beginning of a missionary career that would span nearly four decades. And so Will writes, "I arrived home the end of June 1923, and again I saw the Lord at work as He began to remove, one after the other, the impediments to our going." And so, convinced of God's call, knowing that he was far too old to be accepted by any normal missionary agency, in his own words, he decided to prospect for himself. And so it was that Will arrived in Chile in late 1923. His wife arrived with her two children in early 1924. And with limited Spanish, he preached and gave out literally thousands of Bibles to soldiers through up and down the narrow country of Chile during nearly 40 years of ministry. In 1960, when Mr. Strong was 83 years of age, he was preparing to board a train, and he was handing out tracts, and he handed out his last tract, and as he was going to step on board the train, he collapsed, and before he hit the ground, he was in heaven. He was nearly 83 years of age. The Strongs transitioned to Chile back in 1923, and their four decades of pioneering ministry, and then God using the imperfect small army of the Gospel Mission of South America to plant what today are over 100 churches throughout Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay, and the training of pastors and the establishing of camps and Bible institutes, beloved, is all about Christ's sufficiency. And nothing has changed. He's sufficient for everything He calls you to be and do and permits in your life. Absolutely nothing has changed. He continues to be everything that you need. And this morning I'd like to share three brief lessons about His sufficiency out of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And let me say first of all that His sufficiency is personal. Remember that the Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Notice the I and the me. And beloved, He's sufficient for you today. He's sufficient for whatever you're facing in the days ahead. The phrase "I can do" simply means to have power evinced even in extraordinary deeds, even in simple deeds. It's to be strengthened to overcome so as not to succumb or to be conquered. It's to be able, effective, and capable of doing. The grammatical construction of the phrase "I can do" indicates that as Paul spoke, he was doing, present tense, all things through Christ who was continually strengthening him. The Apostle Paul was a living testimony of the very truth that he was declaring. And I want you to notice with me the eye of "I can do," because the eye of "I can do" shows personal responsibility. Paul threw himself front and center. He wasn't bragging on himself. He was taking personal responsibility for his actions. I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for my responses to sovereignly permitted circumstances in my life. We know that Paul was writing in the context of poverty and riches. But more broadly applied, regardless of what God commands or calls me to do, whatever circumstances He sovereignly permits in my life, I'm personally responsible for how I respond. Beloved, I can kick and I can writhe and I can rebel and I can be miserable, or I can cast myself on Christ and I can depend on Him and I can depend on His strength and I can be willing and I can be content. Either way, I'm responsible and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. The can of I can do shows powerful conviction. The Apostle Paul wasn't defeated by circumstances, not even those which were beyond his control. He didn't disobey God's commands or calls or clear leading because they were too hard or appeared to be unfair. Look, he was in prison. It didn't seem unfair to the Apostle Paul. He wasn't disobeying the Lord's call or command just because of his circumstances. He didn't quit in despair because of great trial. His response was, "I can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And believe me, it wasn't misguided optimism. but the powerful ongoing conviction of the constant available strength in Christ to overcome. The can of I can do shows powerful conviction. The do of I can do shows predicted accomplishment. It has nothing to do with my ability, has nothing to do with my talent, has nothing to do with my giftedness or my experience or any other human resource, which, by the way, all end in failure or end in arrogant self-reliance or both. The Apostle Paul was not about this. In fact, in chapter 3 and verse 3, he had stated very clearly that he had no confidence in the flesh, and therefore neither should we. Confidence in the flesh is the I don't need you, I can do it myself attitude that ends in every kind of failure and disappointment. The Apostle Paul uses the I can do, the expectant I can do, the I can do that anticipates accomplishment and progress that can only be explained by the constant presence and power of Christ who gives us strength. So many live their lives in the realm of the I can't do's. So many live their lives overcome instead of being overcomers. Are there I can't do's in your life? So many of you stood indicating that you're going to be involved in some kind of ministry in the days ahead. I wonder how many of you are reticent about that or fearful or wondering how that may go for you. Are there I can't do's in your life that are defeating you? Perhaps some in your spiritual life. Could there be an I can't do in your moral life, in your thought life? How about your relationships with others? How about your academics or your ministry? Perhaps you lack contentment, or maybe you're nurturing wrong attitudes. Are you enslaved by some area of disobedience in your life? Beloved, Christ is your sufficiency. He's my sufficiency. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So his sufficiency is personal. Secondly, let me say that his sufficiency is plentiful. It's unlimited, it's complete, it's sweeping, it's comprehensive. For he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In verse 11, he had said, not that I speak of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So you have to ask yourself, what is meant by whatsoever state, and what is meant by all things? In verses 11 and 12, he speaks of contentment, whether being abased or having abundance, whether being full or hungry, abounding or suffering need. And so that's the circumstantial context that Paul uses to illustrate how Christ was strengthening him to be content. Whatsoever state and all things, however, go far beyond wealth and poverty. Christ's sufficiency is so all-encompassing. It includes anything and everything God could possibly call upon you, command you, or lead you to do, as well as any circumstance He sovereignly permits in your life. In that sense, beloved, nothing is beyond the realm of your capability, because I can do all things through Christ, all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I believe no one understood this better than the Apostle Paul. Remember, he was writing from prison, and he was reflecting on events that had happened in the past. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he was more abundant in labor, suffered stripes above measure, was imprisoned often, suffered death threats, was beaten by his own countrymen, beaten with rod, stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, traveled under dangerous circumstances, was in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of his own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. He knew physical weariness and pain, watchings, hunger, thirst, fasting, coldness and nakedness, and ongoing concern for the churches. That pretty well covers whatsoever state and all things, does it not? When Paul declared, I can do all things, 5 years had gone by since he had written 2 Corinthians. And so the Apostle Paul was speaking from personal experience. He was sharing the testimony of God's sufficiency in his ministry in the past. The Apostle Paul had proven what he was talking about. The obvious qualifier to all of this, to the undeniable ongoing power to do everything God commands us and calls us and leads us to do, including physical, material, and emotional suffering and victory over sin, is that it is accomplished through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the qualifier. That brings us to our final thought. His sufficiency is not only personal and plentiful, but His sufficiency is prevailing. I can do all things through Christ in vital union with Him, which strengtheneth me. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul speaks of the exceeding greatness of His power. Beloved, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, those of us who walk in continual belief, according to the working of His mighty power, is enough and is available. That's why the Apostle Paul would say later on in chapter 3, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And he prayed that the Ephesians would have the eyes of their understanding enlightened concerning this power. And beloved, I'm convinced that if you and I could choose to access and appropriate the exceeding greatness of His power, we would think and talk and react and live and serve differently. Think of it. The exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, those who walk in continual belief, according to the working of His mighty power. The word exceeding describes just how great His power is. His power is superior. It's excellent. It's unmeasurable. It's excessive. It's more than sufficient. It's superabounding. And then in Ephesians 1:19, in that verse, He uses four different words to describe God's power. He uses the word dunamis, which is translated power, that inherent ability. That ability is a characteristic attribute of God. He uses the word energia, which is translated working. That's operative power. It speaks of functionality, that which produces the needed effect. Remember, He's talking about God's power. He uses the word ichthyos, which is translated mighty. It's a bestowal of physical strength, and it stresses the fact of ability. It's the very same Greek word that's translated I can do in our text. And then He uses the word kratos, which is translated power, and it's manifest force. It denotes the presence and the significance of force or strength. And so bring this all together and think with me how incredible the power of God is. The superior, excellent, unmeasurable, excessive, more than sufficient, superabundance of God's inherent characteristic ability toward those of us who are believing is according to the effective operative power of His bestowed manifest force. It's the very same power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, according to Ephesians 1:20. And so, beloved, when God commands or calls or leads or permits, it's absolutely inconceivable that any of us could ever say, I can't. It's just not the option. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Beloved, you can. You can because it's Christ who strengthens you. You can because Christ is sufficient in you. He's sufficient to make you capable for everything that is in your life, your studies, your relationships. He can help you treat with grace that annoying roommate, to bear the homesickness that perhaps you're feeling, or the fear of a ministry, perhaps in South Africa, or there was another group going elsewhere. Where was it? Utah. And I know that Luke Stevens is going to Argentina. The fears that could be, he's sufficient for all of that. The wondering what you'll be involved with, if you'll be able to toe the mark. He's sufficient for all of that, for all of your travels, those of you who are traveling. He's sufficient. He's sufficient for every need. He's sufficient to strengthen your trust in Him, to provide for your school bill, to provide work for the summer. He's sufficient to strengthen you to overcome a besetting sin. Beloved, there's no but. There's nothing unique about your situation. He is sufficient. He is sufficient. A dear lady in our mission by the name of Lois just came home. Probably won't be able to go back to the field. She's heartbroken. She has an illness. She's 76 years old. She's been 52 years in Chile, in Argentina. And you know, that dear lady was the only one of five or six children that her parents dedicated to missionary service. She wore thick glasses from the time she was 2 years old, had a learning disability. If she were here, she would tell you that she flunked every single exam she ever took in high school and Bible college. Every single exam she flunked. No one would have ever sent her to the mission field but Gospel Mission of South America. That's probably not true. She served the Lord for 52 years in South America, a productive ministry, used of God, learned Spanish. Why? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. His calling is truly His enabling. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me, means I'm strong for all things through the one who constantly infuses His strength in me. He causes me to be able. It's not the I can of willpower and ability. It's not confidence in the flesh. But it's the I can of my vital union with the very one who strengthens me. The appropriation of the power of His abiding presence that makes me strong for all He calls me to be and do and sovereignly permits in my life. And so, beloved, the question this morning is, how's your union with Him? How's your fellowship with the Savior? Will Strong was in many respects a unique individual, but in reality he was no different than we are. I often have wondered what would have happened if Will Strong had stayed home. In the history, near 100-year history of the Gospel Mission of South America, there's never been a time when one of his relatives has not been a part of our mission. Four generations of Mr. Strong's family have served with the GMSA. A fifth generation is sitting in this room this morning. Mrs. Strong, known for poetry, wrote these words, "Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at the impossibilities and cries, it shall be done." When he was reunited with his wife in New York City, Mr. Strong told her after that long trip to South America, and I quote, "I want you to place the matter before the Lord. If you don't feel just as I do, I shall know that I am not called, for I do not believe that God is calling the one without the other." Mrs. Strong writes, "I did place the entire problem before the Heavenly Father, source of all wisdom. There were our children to be considered. Our son, 14 years of age, our daughter, 10. There was their education, the taking of them away from their friends, etc. Naturally, I spent much time in prayer and in the study of God's Word. One day, I was reading the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and God spoke to me. It is the story of King Jehoshaphat. He too had a great problem. A mighty enemy was marching against him. He felt his helplessness and laid all before the Lord. In verse 6, he says, listen, in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? In verse 12, neither know we what to do. Listen, but our eyes are upon thee. Mrs. Strong says, I too cried, if we go to Chile, this land unknown, we do not know what enemies lie in wait there, what dangers, what difficulties. I felt my helplessness also and said, we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Then as I continued to read, verse 15 said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Again, verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Mrs. Strong says, then I believe that he was calling to go, to trust entirely in him, and he would care for every detail. He would go before and prepare the way. So I began to praise the Lord. Beloved, that's what follows trusting in Christ's sufficiency, is praise, praising the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's sufficient.